Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. And Jesus said, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This is our second installment in The Walking Dead, Alive and Free. Somebody just shout, "I'm alive and free." Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "I'm alive." Turn to your second choice neighbor, tell him, "You're alive." Now tell him, "Act like it." Now I need everybody for the next 10 seconds to act like you're alive. Come on, give a shout, move around a little bit. Let the devil know you missed, it didn't work. I'm still standing, I'm still serving, I'm still loving, I'm still worshiping. We're alive, praise God, you may be seated. This series, we're talking about the world in general, but a lot of what we're talking about is in the church, living like the undead. Living like those that are not fully awake but not fully asleep. We're going to talk about the recipe for resurrection. You know, every miracle has an anatomy to it. There's ingredients to every miracle. I think I preached that a few years ago. It's probably been more time than I think, but it's probably been 3 or 4 years ago, the anatomy of a miracle, that every story has to have an antagonist. There has to be an enemy. Without an enemy, there is no victory. Praise God. Without an enemy, there is no fight, which means there's no triumph, which means there's no conquering. And Jesus said, we are more than conquerors, praise God. So there has to be an antagonist. There's a protagonist. That protagonist is always Jesus. He's the hero of every story of my life. The messes I get myself into, Jesus is the story. Jesus is the hero. The messes that other people place on me, Jesus is the hero. When I fall into a trap, Jesus is always the hero that rescues me. When somebody pushes me in a trap, Jesus is always the hero. So there's a recipe for resurrection, which we'll get into some today. We're going to talk about now faith, faith in this moment. Not faith on Sunday, not faith on Wednesday, but faith that travels. Faith that shows up wherever you are, faith is. And wherever you are, if faith is, wherever faith is, God is. And wherever you are, if faith is produces where God is. And wherever God is, there's liberty. There's peace, there's joy, there's the miraculous is available. And then we're going to talk about a lot of people that are alive but not free. How terrible would it be for you to come to a church like Living Way, where we teach and preach freedom through Jesus Christ, freedom through all that God has done. He has produced a way for us to live in not only eternally but abundantly here on this earth. But we sit on a pew or in our seat every Sunday, but we're really not free. We don't only want you to breathe in and out. We want you to live the free life that God has called you to live. So last session, we talked about while the rest of the world talks about The Walking Dead, TV shows and movies, and they wait for that zombie apocalypse. The church has been dealing with The Walking Dead for quite a while. Disciples by label, but not by lifestyle. Alive but not liberated. Christian by name but not truly converted. Transformed talk but a conformed walk. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. It tells us, as Paul describes to the church at Corinth, and he reminds them of who you used to be. Can we just take a stroll down memory lane for about 30 seconds and remember who we were before Christ got a hold of us? Remember how we used to think before our mind was transformed and renewed through what Jesus Christ had done. Don't you remember what it was like to have that substance put in your vein, up your nose, or down your throat? Thanks be to God that we're not dead in our sins anymore. But Paul would encourage and say, you are dead in your transgressions and sins. That's all of us. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3, 23. But he said that Jesus made us alive. His great love for us, the God who is rich in mercy by his grace, three things he reminds them of. He said, when you were dead in your sin, when you are a dead man living like you were dead, he said, Jesus died to make you alive. He gave you his great, great grace, and he gave you his great mercy. I want to encourage you today, if Jesus died to give you life, we've got to act like we're alive. We can't just be struggling through this life and acting like everybody else. Every news account and story that comes across your timeline on Twitter or Fox News or CNN cannot send you in a tailspin. Why? Because we know how this story ends. And this story does not end with a church with a whimper. It ends with a shout when Jesus comes back for his church. And so if you die, you don't want to die in your sins. You want to die alive in Christ. Because as I've said before, the last breath I breathe on this earth, don't come cry at my funeral because I'm gone. Because know that when I die here, I will be more alive than I have ever been in Christ with him in a real place called heaven. Somebody ought to tag this sermon and play that at my funeral, that line, that last line there. But I don't plan on going in a funeral. I plan on going in the rapture. Praise God. Psalm 107:2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He who hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, you've got to say so. You can't just say so on Sunday. It's not a say-so Sunday, not a Sunday say-so. We need you saying so tomorrow afternoon. We need you saying so when nobody else believes like you, when nobody else talks like you. They ought to, and I said it last week, if you run around with people that don't know you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that's a problem. Everybody should know. It should take you out of some groups and put you in other groups. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You ought to be the obnoxious friend that can't quit talking about the goodness of God, that can't quit talking that faith talk. And when they share bad news, oh, I don't believe that. God's going to take care of me and mine. I serve a big God. I serve a God that took care of Israel in the Old Testament, and that's who I am in the New Testament. I'm not walking around dead. I'm talking like I'm alive. I'm walking like I'm alive. I'm living like I'm alive. He died so that I could live. Our relationship with Jesus should be seen, should be heard, should be felt, should be experienced, should be tangible and evident to strangers. People should walk up to you, even if they don't know the verbiage or vernacular to use, they should say there's something different about you. That's the Holy Spirit in me. That's the Holy Spirit in you. When you walk into a room, things should change. I'm reading a book on the art of leadership, and the art of deal making, the art of negotiation. It has a lot of Christian principles through it, but it is more of a secular business book. It talks about making people feel something when you meet them. If the secular world is having those kind of conversations, listen, I want to walk into a room and bring so much Jesus with me that the devil in them doesn't just get agitated and irritated. He has to go because of his proximity to an alive man that is full of the Holy Spirit, that is full of the Word of God, that is full of the faith, and that the enemy can't stay in my presence. And it's not really my presence. It's his presence in me. It's his presence in you. So there should be a tangible feeling, sound, sight from believers. Too many people are alive in Christ, but they're not living for him. Those would be those that say that they're believers, say that they're Christians, but they really don't act like it. As we move into living like the undead, in these movies and shows that depict zombies, they are many times referred to as the undead. Not really dead, but not really alive, somewhere in between. That is how I would classify most Christians in today's world. And I can't speak for other countries, and I think that probably the Western world and the U.S., that we've gotten very lethargic and apathetic in our worship and in our expression of following Jesus Christ. So I can't speak for other countries, but I can speak for a lot of Americans, because we have almost 370 million people in our country, and over 200 million of them say they have a relationship with Jesus. They might have a relationship with Jesus, but not the Jesus I know. It's just spelled the same way. Tyler sent me a text the other day. He said, Jesus is bringing me food. It said, Jesus is on his way, DoorDash, to your door with Taco Bell. Even Jesus loves Taco Bell. See, some of us, we are alive just enough. See, when you are immunized and vaccinated, and I'm not going to be anti or pro-vax here. I'm just telling you what vaccination and immunization are. They're giving you just a little bit of the disease so that your body makes antibodies and creates things within your body because of the goodness of God, that's how it works. So it knows how to fight it should that disease really show up. Some of us have been Jesus vaccinated and Jesus immunized. That's why coming to a church like Living Way becomes problematic for some. Because you get some Jesus and you feel what we felt in worship. And you leave here, but you're like David. You have not proven what Saul was fighting with. And Saul has not proven what David was going to fight with. And so I want to encourage you, don't just get the Jesus vaccine. You better get all of him. Why? Because the world does not need a little Jesus. The world needs all of Jesus. Heard a funny story between the oneness preacher and the Trinitarian preacher, and some of this will go over your head, but there are people who believe that there are literally three distinctions of God, that when we get to heaven, we will see three versions of God. The Bible does not teach that, but some like to teach that, and there's really no scripture to back that up. But I believe that there is one God, and I believe there's three variations of that God. The way that I explain it is water can be seen as liquid, can be seen as steam if it gets hot enough, or can be seen as ice if it is frozen, but it is all water. I look at myself. I am Brandon. To Mandy, I am her husband. To Mario, I am his friend. To Jaden and Tyler, I am their father, but I am one. And so there was a oneness preacher that was selling his building, and a Trinitarian came and said, well, I believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I believe that the three separate entities. And the oneness preacher said, well, everybody that's been baptized in our baptistry has been baptized in the name of Jesus only. And the Trinitarian said, well, if you pastor the devils I pastor, you'd need all three. That went over your head. That's a preacher joke. But there's some of us who have been immunized with just enough Jesus to make us feel good. But if the only Jesus you have makes you feel good and doesn't challenge you to become a better follower and disciple of Jesus Christ, you've gotten Jesus light. You've gotten Holy Ghost light. You've not gotten enough. But we are here at Living Way to give you all of Jesus. Sometimes Jesus is going to pat you on the back and say, good job. But sometimes Jesus and his Holy Spirit is going to convict you and say, hey, you fell short on Monday, but here's some grace and mercy. But let's try to do better tomorrow. I'm here to tell you, I don't want to be immunized. I don't want to be half dead and half alive. I want to be fully who Jesus has called me to be. This is how many believers are defined: half dead, not really dead, but not really alive. John 10:10, the thief cometh but not to steal, for to steal, to kill and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and life more abundantly. Can I encourage you to never fall in love with one verse so much that you quote it, declare it, you put it on your window, you put it on your mirror, you put it on your screensaver, your lock screen, that you read it so much that you lose the power of that verse. We say this all the time here at Living Way. John 10:10 is one of our favorite. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. The reason that so many believers, listen to this, are alive but not free is they are living like God put a period where he put a comma. They get some, but not all. We pray. And we hear God speak into our life and into our spirit, but we get so excited over the first part. Or just like when we had adolescents in our house, they're not really listening to everything you're saying. They're just picking bits and pieces. The reason so many believers are alive like Lazarus, Lazarus come forth, but they are not free, loose him and let him go, is because they're putting a period where God only put a comma. Somebody say, there is more. There's more after the comma, Ephesians 3:20. Let's see this play out. Let's actually go back to John 10:10. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that thou might have life, comma. That's a good place to shout because that's eternal life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. Awesome. We could have run out the building today shouting about eternal life. That is a place where God put a comma. Some people like to act like God put an exclamation point there because they don't believe in healing. They don't believe that God wants to bless you. They don't believe in the favor of God, the blessing of God. They don't believe God's hand at work in your life. All they're shouting about is one day I get to go to a real place called heaven. I'm here to tell you the full statement that Jesus said is I've come to give you life, comma. Every time there's a comma, it just means that God has taken a breath. It doesn't mean that he is over or finished. Can I encourage somebody today? You wonder why God has quit talking. He has not quit talking. He has just taken a breath. He is not finished. It is not over. The statement is not completed. He's just putting a comma. He said, I've come to give you life, comma, and life more abundantly. Too many believers are alive but not free because they are looking at eternal life only and they have not embraced abundant life. Let's take this a little further. Ephesians 3:20, one of our favorite portions of Scripture. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, comma. If you put a period there, it's still worthy of shouting about. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That's awesome. But what comes after the comma? According to the power that works within us. So now it takes the onus and responsibility off of the believer doing the work. And he said, you better make sure that you have the work happening inside of you called Jesus and his Holy Spirit, so that everything you ask for, everything you think about, everything you need, God said the power of Jesus Christ is going to bring that to result in your life. Let's go further, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's a great statement. Comma. And all his righteousness. Comma. And all these things shall be added unto you. Can I encourage you to let God take his breath and let God continue again? There is two breaths in the Word of God. There is the breath of creation and there is the breath of the Holy Ghost. I am so glad that God created me, but I'm so glad that I did not end at just being created and being alive. I'm so glad that I pressed into the upper room. I'm so glad that I said, God's not done yet. He's still going to breathe again. And this time when he breathes again, the same spirit that created in Genesis 1, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it now dwells inside of me and makes me and makes you alive. Can I encourage you? God is not finished with you yet. God has not put a period. God has not put an exclamation point. God has not put a question mark. It's just a comma. There's more to just being alive. He wants us to be free. Hence, dead man walking. You're alive, but you need to be free. You're alive, but you need to be free. John 3:16, the second most quoted scripture in the world. You say, what's the first? Judge not. That's the generation we live in. Only God can judge me. Yes, he can, and that should terrify you, because he will, unless you give your life to Jesus Christ. You say, if I give my life to Jesus Christ, God doesn't judge me? No, that judgment's already been rendered 2,000 years ago, and you are now washed in the blood of Jesus. God is not going to judge me. My sins already hit heaven and have already been erased, praise God. There's some theology for you on a Sunday morning. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, comma. Great statement. You ever hear somebody just use that to take away all responsibility? Well, God loves everybody. I'm sure he loves everybody. But that doesn't mean he gives everybody the same thing. That doesn't mean that everybody lives the same life. Oh, God loves everybody. I've got two kids. If one of them was in rebellion, they wouldn't get the same thing the other one got. God has 8 billion kids. 8 billion people created in his image. They look like God, but where are 2 million people in San Antonio? And we've got empty seats in the room. Where are they today? God loves them. Oh, he loves them. But you know what it says when you're here today? I love God back. I love him too. For God so loved the world, here we go, comma, that he gave his only begotten son. Oh, he could have ended it right there. That's a good one. Comma. That whosoever believeth in him would not perish. Oh, that's another great statement. He said, I'm still not done. I'm just taking a breath. Comma. But have everlasting life. Period. So when people tell you There is more than one way to heaven. Oh, if it's outside of Jesus Christ, there is no other way to heaven, period. That's what he said. He said, I loved you so much, comma, that I sent my son, comma, to give you everlasting life, comma, period. That's what I came to do. Don't put a period where God has placed a comma. There's an abundance after the comma. One of the most powerful verses in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 9, verse 28. It's a verse that you maybe have never read before. It's a story that you know very well if you've spent any time in church, VBS, Sunday school. It is the story of Noah. Now, in the story of Noah, if I were to ask you many things about Noah, you would probably never rest on Genesis chapter 9, verse 28. You would talk about the animals coming two by two. You would talk about the fact that it had never rained on the earth and God called Noah to build something that had never been built before for an event that had never happened. You would talk about faith. You would talk about the faith of a man that took 100 years to build it, why everybody mocked him, why everybody questioned him. Those are the things that we've taken out of the story of Noah. But can I tell you, one of the greatest statements on Noah is Genesis 9, verse 28. And after the flood, Noah lived 350 years. After the comma, Noah lived 350 years. After, can I just tell you, whatever you are facing is a comma. Cancer is not a death sentence, it's a comma. Foreclosure is not a death sentence, it's a comma. I'm going to say it again. Noah lived 350 years after the flood, and you will too. Cancer is not a death sentence, it is just a comma. Foreclosure and bankruptcy are not the end, it's just a comma. Your prodigal son, the reason we say prodigal, he's still alive. It's not a death sentence, it's just a comma. He's coming home, she's coming home, and you're going to outlive the flood. You're going to outlive the devastation, the travesty. You're going to outlive 350 years, and Noah's still living. Listen to this. It's a morbid thought. I don't know how many people were alive on this earth, on the earth at that moment. Everybody dies, but Noah, his wife, his three sons, and his three daughter-in-laws. Eight people survive a worldwide flood. What took everybody else in the world out? Everybody. Noah outlived. Everybody else died. Noah not only lived through the 40 days and 40 nights, he lived another 350 years. He lived so long that people didn't even believe his story about what God had brought him through and what God did in him and his family. Can I just put that promise on somebody today that what took the rest of your family out, what took the rest of your graduating class out, what took the rest of the row that was sitting with you this time 3 years ago out, and here you are still praising God, living life, abundant life, after the comma, after the flood. Why is that? Because God is faithful to those who are faithful to him. And the comma is not the end of your story. God is getting ready to take another breath. And I believe he's going to breathe again on Sunday. I believe he's getting ready to speak another word on Sunday. I believe he's getting ready to heal another cancer on Sunday. I believe he's getting ready to deliver somebody else on Sunday. And Noah lived after the flood. In closing, just because of what God's done in my family, 9 years ago, Bishop had a terrible accident. He was thrown from a horse. The horse ran over the top of him. He had an open book pelvic fracture, which means he was literally broken in half. Almost lost his thumb. He had cardiac bruising. The horse bucked him off, then ran over the top of him. Cardiac bruising where the horse had stomped him. He had spinal bruising. The horse, they said, a fraction of an inch one way, and it would have severed his spine. And I remember that moment. I was standing in Pastor Becky's office on a Friday when we get the call. And I could tell by the look on Pastor Becky's face. I could tell by the way the color drained out that something was wrong. So we got in the car. We were getting ready to jump and go where he was an hour south of San Antonio. And we got the call that We didn't need to go there because they're going to air flight him or air life him all the way to Bamsey. Now, we don't have military background, so it was so bad that they let him land at Samsey. And we were standing there at the helipad. But before we stood at the helipad, Pastor Becky and I came in this room. No one was here. There was no worshipers. There was no preachers. There was no pastors. There was no intercessors. But there was a God. And when the God that we sang about, and when he walked in the room, that's why I live like I'm alive. That's why I live like I'm free. Because when nobody else was around, and it was just God, Pastor Becky began to pray, and she was praying in one spot. But I'm a walker. When I pray, I walk because I'm like Joshua and Caleb. I'm taking territory, praise God. And I walked this room about 6 or 8 times because we knew we had about 30 minutes before he got down to Samsey. And we were standing there at the helipad waiting for him. The doctors told us that night, they said he's not going to live through the night. He's got too much internal bleeding. We can't even do surgery on him. We pray. I'm talking about really pray. I'm talking about desperate prayer. I'm talking about a flood in our lives. I'm talking about a Lazarus situation as good as dead. And we pray. Mom and Dad are a lot more private than I would have been because I would have told Mandy, hey, you better get on my TikTok. You better get on Instagram. You better tell everybody. You better call President Biden. Let him know this is a national emergency. We need everybody praying. Mom and Dad are not that way. They're old school. They're private. They said, don't tell anyone. My kids didn't even know until he was almost out of the all you can do in those moments. And it went from he'll not live through the night to that next morning he's still alive. And the doctor said, well, he'll live, but he'll never walk again. And me and Mom are thinking, oh, if he's going to be alive, he has to be able to walk. And then by the end of that day, they said, oh, he's going to walk, but he's going to have about 9 months of rehab. He's going to have to teach him. We're going to have to do all of these things. Day two, they said, well, maybe not 9 months or a year, but he's going to have 90 days, and we're going to have to put an external fixator on him for at least, you know, for the next 6 weeks. And if you know Dad, an external fixator is not going to work. But I'm saying do what you need to do. You keep that man alive. I don't care what you got to do. You keep him alive. They go through surgery. Check this out. The surgeon that was supposed to do the external fixator did not show up for work that day. Another surgeon had to be called in. They do the surgery, comes in, said, how'd the surgery go? He said, great. I said, is he comfortable in the external fixator? He said, oh, who told you we were going to have to do that? He said, that didn't need to be done. We were able to just do everything inside. He's got a plate about the size of an iPhone. He's got a rod running down his leg. And can I tell you that 72 hours after he walked in the hospital, he walked out of the hospital, not in a wheelchair. He walked out. What am I telling you? I haven't forgot the point that I told you that story. The reason I told you that story is what the devil thought he had taken out in 2013. Bishop lived 9 years after the flood. And you will too. And I will too. Brother Kevin, I don't know how many years it's been since you beat it the first time. How many years? Tammy, you probably know better than Kev. 7 years after the flood, Kevin's alive. Where's Brian at? Is Brian running media? Brian's 3 years almost cancer-free, and 3 years after the flood, they tried to put a period with cancer, and God said, no, that's just a comma. There's more life left to do. He's putting scriptures up. Brian doesn't even know this, but Brian's preaching to you this morning. I'm using a microphone. He's using a screen to show you things. Here's another Kevin. Kevin, how long have you been cancer-free? 10 years after the flood. 10 years after the flood. I know I'm taking a little time to do this, but I need to just share some testimonies that are not Fender testimonies so that you know that this is for anybody and everybody. And we've got to quit walking around like we've got a death sentence, because he's given his life so that we can be alive. And I don't know what you're struggling with, but I do know this. Don't put a period there. Put a comma. God is still moving. God is still working. I want to open this altar up for those of you who feel like the enemy has grabbed the pen of your life and he's trying to put a punctuation that is not God-given, that is not God-ordained in your life. He's telling you it's over, and it's not over. Cody, I'm not going to share your whole story. I read it. I'm going to share it soon. But here you are, what is it, 2 months after we met? Maybe 2 months? But the enemy thought he had you, thought you were done. But Cody's living 2 months after the flood. And can I just say, you're young enough that we're going to be able to say 60 years from now, and Cody lived 60 years after the flood. Dead man walking? Oh, no. You're alive man walking. You're alive woman walking. We've come to remind you that Jesus gave his life for you. But we also came to remind you that Jesus gave his life to activate freedom in your life. If you need anything in your life, I'd love for you to join these people that have come to the front today. Now, I want to encourage you. God is getting ready to breathe again. He's just taking a breath. He's getting ready to make that next statement that is going to change your life. Chris, you weren't supposed to even live. Chris, you weren't even supposed to be born. I've known you ever since the pregnancy announcement was made. I can't even remember how old you are. 21, 22, 25, 23? And 23 years after the flood. Hey. And then the devil said, okay, I'll let him be born, but he'll never walk. You said, watch me walk. He said, well, his life will never really amount to much. And you said, well, check this out. How about I play on 4 or 5 different worship teams, tour the city of San Antonio, and lead thousands in worship every week? Can I encourage you? You're living after the flood. Every day you wake up, you put your heel on the devil's throat, and you remind him, you don't get to say when it's over. God is the one who says when it's over. And even when they tried to put you in a grave, God said, Chris, come out, loose him. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Lord, right now, Lord, right now, Lord, in Chris's life, and he lived after the flood, and he lived after the flood, and he lived after the flood. It's just a comma. There's more life to live. There's more ministry to do. There's more purpose to possess. There's more land. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. If you need anything, this is your moment. I'm going to come down this altar, and all I'm going to say is and you lived after the flood. I'm going to make that declaration over everybody, because I believe there's so much more life to live. But if you're in this room today and you need Jesus, you don't know him as your Savior, this is your moment. We're not going to embarrass you. That's not what we're about. We're going to help you embrace Jesus by confessing who he is and receiving him into your life. If you've never said yes, this is your moment. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in another language, this is your moment. If you'd like to be baptized in water, this is your moment. We are ready. If you need healing, come on. Don't let that be a period. It's just a comma. There's more. There's more. There's more. Say, my relationship, my marriage is struggling right now. It's not a period. It's a comma. Sister Tammy, we've lived through some commas, haven't we? Over and over. Lauren, we've lived through some commas. Mandy, we've lived through some commas. Rexy, we've lived through some commas, but we've stood to see the faithfulness of God. Let me say this real quick. I know what time it is, but I've lived for 41 years, and I've gotten a call from my dad, my mom, or my brother at least 7 or 8 times in my life. The doctor said, I have cancer. Every time it happens, fear for a moment tries to flood in. But then I remember, if Noah lived after the flood, we will too. And every time I've seen the goodness of God. All three of them are cancer-free today. Multiple tumors. Some of them through surgery. Some of them through radiation and chemo. The tumor Pastor Becky had behind her eye, it just disappeared. I don't know how it happened. I don't care how God does it. I just know that I'm going to live, and you're going to live after the flood. We're not dead men walking. We're not the walking dead. We're alive and free in Christ. Let's pray. Pastoral team, help me pray.